Well, good morning, everyone, again. As I said earlier, my name's Tim. It's my great joy and privilege to open up God's Word with us this morning. So if you've got your Bible there, open up to John chapter 11. It's a great way to make sure that what I'm saying is what the Bible's saying. You can follow along. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you that we can come together this morning and read it, and we pray that you'd please help us as we read to see Jesus and hear his voice and believe him. Amen. What is the biggest problem in our world today? If you were to ask a bunch of people out on the street that question, what sort of answers do you think that they would give you? They might say things like climate change, rising sea levels, COVID, or whatever the next pandemic happens to be, war, conflict, communism, capitalism, religion. Some people might even say that Christianity is the greatest problem in our world today. The rising cost of living, unemployment, homelessness, or perhaps even violence, abuse, or other personal suffering. What do you think the biggest problem in our world is today? As awful as some of those things are that I mentioned, there's one problem that overshadows them all. There's one problem that no matter where you are from, no matter how old you are, no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do, we will all face at one point. Death. Death is our greatest problem. Death does not discriminate between race or gender. Death cuts across any and all socioeconomic divides. Death rules every age of our human existence. And tragically, if at this point in your life you haven't experienced death in one form or another, that's simply to say that you haven't lived long enough. And no matter which way you slice it, death is awful. It is the great immovable power swallowing everything in its path. Now, in order to fight it, we try and tackle death head on. We send in our best medical experts, our scientific experts, to try and find a cure, to try and extend our lives, or even to achieve immortality, to live forever. But we also try and fight against death in other ways. People want to choose for themselves how and when they die with dignity as their body slowly gives way. In the sort of language that we use, we try and avoid it by saying, he passed away, she has passed on. We try and explain it away by simply saying, well, death is just a natural part of life. But deep down inside all of us, there is something that cries out, this is not right. This is not the way things are supposed to be. No matter the circumstances, death is awful. And yet, unavoidably, it's everyone's fate, yours and mine. And so the question is, what hope do we have in the face of death? In the part of the Bible that we're looking at this morning, John chapter 11, we're going to see three different conversations that Jesus has. And Jesus is going to show us that he is the solution to death. That he gives life to those who believe in him. Now, our first conversation is between Jesus and Martha, life after death. So we begin in the opening verses of John chapter 11 by being introduced to three of Jesus' close friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, who are all siblings. Now, Lazarus is sick, and at this point, Jesus has gained quite a reputation as a miraculous healer. And so, Lazarus' sisters, as you would logically expect, contact Jesus and say, Jesus, come quickly, your dear friend Lazarus is sick. But then, as Jesus often does, you might be aware if you read much of the Gospels, Jesus then does something very unexpected. Verse 5 and 6, have a look with me. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, He ran immediately to Lazarus' home and healed him instantly, and everyone was all better at the end. That's not what it says. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Does that sound strange? Jesus has the power to heal. He's heard that his dear friend, his beloved friend Lazarus, is sick, and so he does nothing. Jesus deliberately waits until after Lazarus has died before making his way to see him. And so by the time Jesus gets to the town where Lazarus lived, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. By all appearances, Jesus is too late. Now, Martha hears that Jesus is on his way and rushes out to meet him. And so in verse 21, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, earlier on, Jesus had already told his disciples what he was intending to do when he got to Lazarus. He said, "I'm going to wake him up." Jesus is already planning on raising him from the dead. So we've been let in on a little secret. But Martha is actually also correct in what she says. She knows what God says about life and death. Martha has been reading her Bible. She answers correctly. Well done, tick. Martha isn't saying anything radical here, but Jesus does say something radical. He helps Martha to see that while she does know something about who God is, about his power, about resurrection, she doesn't quite get it. She's missing the most fundamental piece of the puzzle. Excuse me. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" What's the key to it all? Jesus. Jesus takes the understanding of resurrection, of real, physical, bodily life after death, and says, "That is about me. I'm the one who gives life that even death itself can never take away." Jesus is talking about death in a much deeper sense than just closing your eyes at the end of your life and going to sleep. When Jesus talks about life and death, and if you'd read through John's Gospel, you'd see this come up a lot, he's actually talking about our relationship with God, which is either in right relationship with God and life, or judgment and death. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 36, I'll just read it out for us. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." Forgiveness and life on the one hand, and on the other, death, judgment, wrath, Jesus says. These are the only two options. And the key to it all is Jesus. What's about to happen with Lazarus is a signpost pointing to that reality. Life, true life that comes from God, can only be rightly understood in relationship with Jesus. And it only comes from Jesus. Jesus himself is the cure for death. As powerful and destructive and horrific as death is, as unsatiable its appetite to permit nothing to escape its jaws, the true life that Jesus gives is stronger still. While we talk about life being swallowed up in death, Jesus here declares himself to be the one that flips that on its head. He is the life that swallows up death. And he demonstrated his words here to be true by his own resurrection from the dead. On that first Good Friday 2,000 years ago, this same Jesus was betrayed, crucified, and killed, buried in a tomb. Jesus died, and he was dead. But 3 days later, on a dark, unassuming Sunday morning, in a cold, quiet cave, Jesus' lifeless body began to warm. His still, dead heart started to beat. Oxygen flooded his lungs as he took his first breath, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was dead, awoke. And our world was flooded with light and life. The goodness of our world that God made, distorted and corrupted by us and our sin, is restored only in Jesus. Death came into the world through us. When we choose to ignore God, when we live in such a way that only ever results in pain and suffering and destruction and ruin and death, but is restored and renewed through Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Martha responds in verse 27 to Jesus' question. She says, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Martha believes. How is it that we can receive and enjoy life and be set free from death forever? Believe. Just as Jesus has said earlier, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Believe what Jesus says about himself. Trust him. And Jesus' question to Martha is also a question to us this morning. Do you believe this? And there are only two answers to that question. Conversation 2, Jesus and Mary, life after dying. Now, on his way to the tomb where Lazarus is buried in verse 32, Jesus then encounters Mary, Lazarus's sister, who throws herself at Jesus' feet and opens with the same words that Martha did. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." However, for Mary, that's where her conversation ends. So overcome with emotion at the death of her brother, this is all she can get out before collapsing in tears. Mary is left with nothing but, "Why? Now that my brother is dead, what hope is there?" Have you ever been in the position that Mary is in? Because of the death of a loved one or other hardship or pain or whatever it might happen to be, all that seems like you can get out is tears. The question, why? God, why didn't you do anything about it? God, why didn't you stop it? Now, there may never be a completely satisfying answer to those questions, but there is still a deep comfort here in this passage for us. Jesus knows about our suffering. He knows about your suffering. He invites us to come to him, to pour out our tears to him. He is with us in it, even though it may never feel like it. Even though from our vantage point it can seem as if Jesus doesn't care. How easy it is for us when we suffer, when life goes wrong, when life gets hard, when it doesn't seem like there's any way out, how easy it is for us to think God doesn't care about me. He hates me. He's punishing me for something that I've done. He doesn't care about me. He's left me all alone. But friends, that is not true. We see here, with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, that Jesus loves them. John tells us that plainly. Jesus loves them, and yet they still suffer. Sadly, suffering is part and parcel of the world that we live in. God is good, and God is all-powerful, and God is wise. He knows about our suffering. He can do something about it, but he also knows things that we don't. Just like when I was a little kid, I didn't understand why my mum or dad did particular things in particular ways. And why are you doing it that way? Why not do it this way? But we don't know why God does things or doesn't do things. But we can know, the testimony of Scripture right through is clear. God loves us. He cares for us. He is always with us, even in our suffering. even if all we can get out, like Mary, is tears. Once again, just after this, Jesus then does something very confusing. In verse 33, when Jesus sees the tears of those around about him, his response is anger. That's the word behind our English translation, deeply moved, angry. We see the same thing in verse 37 and 38. Some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, angry, came to the tomb. Why is Jesus angry? It's not simply because they are crying, because there's people who are sad. There's nothing wrong with sadness as an emotion in and of itself. In fact, when confronted with death, sadness is good. It is right. But why is Jesus angry? Jesus is angry because of people's unbelief, their utter hopelessness in the face of death. Jesus has been teaching and doing amazing things so far throughout John's Gospel to show people who he is and what he came to do. He came to bring life, life that defeats sin and death. But here, people think, they see Lazarus is dead, and they think, well, that's it. There's no hope. Death has won. For them, death is the indestructible enemy. Even Jesus himself, they say, the one who opened the eyes of the blind man. Now that Lazarus is dead, even he can't do anything about it now. Jesus sees these people having so resigned themselves to the finality of death, having completely given up hope, and he is angry. "No," he says, "whoever believes in me will not stay dead. Whoever believes in me should not fear death. Death is not permanent. But death is still awful." Which brings us to our third and final conversation, Jesus and Lazarus, life from the dead. When Jesus comes to the grave in verse 35, as many of you will know, very popular verse, well-known verse in the Bible, he weeps. And this is the right response at the death of a dear friend. Now, Jesus' weeping is not like the others. Jesus is not someone who resigns himself to hopelessness or despair or unbelief. After all, he knows exactly what he's about to do. He's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet, death is still horrible. We shouldn't think that because we have a wonderful promise and a secure hope of life forever, that now death is just a mere blip on the radar that can be meaninglessly shrugged off as if it really doesn't matter. About a year ago, we went to the funeral of my father-in-law. And yes, he had been struggling with a few problems with his health on and off for a number of years. And while it was a deep comfort, and still is a deep comfort, to know that he is with Jesus and without pain, a funeral is still sad. It is good and right to be sad in the face of death. Death is awful, no matter the circumstances. Life is precious and beautiful and a wonderful gift from God, and so death in any form is horrific and tragic. Jesus then finally comes to where Lazarus rests, and the stone is rolled away, despite Martha's protests about the smell. And verse 43, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus is alive. With just a word, Jesus called to the dead man and he came to life. And he just walked out of the tomb. That doesn't happen very often. We're told that many who saw what Jesus did that day believed in him, which is the right response. And as much as Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary, Jesus didn't just raise Lazarus from the dead for their sake, but also so that we would believe. What Jesus does here in raising Lazarus from death is an enormous signpost for us, lit up for the whole world to see. Jesus gives life. As amazing as this event was, it points forward to something greater, to the true life that Jesus will give to all who believe in him, to be in right relationship with God, to move out from under his judgment and condemnation and wrath that we rightly deserve, to life. This morning we've considered Martha and Mary and Lazarus's conversations with Jesus. How do you feel about death? Is there someone perhaps in this narrative that you feel like you more closely align with? Are you like Martha? You might have an understanding of the Bible, of who God is, of some sort of afterlife, of heaven, of resurrection. But Jesus helped Martha to see that a real and genuine understanding of resurrection and life is only found in Jesus. Are you like Mary, perhaps in suffering, feeling the weight of the hopelessness of suffering, of death, and needing to be pointed to the true hope that Jesus brings even now in the face of death and suffering? Or are you more like Lazarus? Now, you might be thinking, hang on, that guy didn't even do anything. I mean, that's the point, right? Lazarus heard Jesus' words and came to life. Be like Lazarus. That's all you need to do. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will live. Be like Lazarus. If you listen to Jesus' words this morning and believe, you will live. If you believe Jesus, then death has no hold on you. You have moved from death and judgment to life, where the dark, despairing shadow of death hangs menacingly over our whole world and over all who do not believe in Jesus. Jesus offers life forever for free. Life that even death itself can never take away. All that you need to do is believe. Trust him. It's not because of anything that you can do, not because of anything that you have to do. It's because of what Jesus has done, because of who he is. Trust him. Believe him. Jesus offers you right now a firm, secure, eternal resurrection life in the face of certain death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, will live. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?